So this morning we heard a passage from 1 Corinthians that I expect might be familiar to many of you. It's lovely, isn't it? It's called, anybody know what it's called sometimes? The what passage? The love passage, right? Yeah. It describes all things love is and isn't, and lots of people read it at their weddings. I had it read at my own wedding. Perhaps some of you chose to read it at your weddings. Anybody here have it read at your wedding? Yeah, I see a few hands. Perhaps you've heard it at someone else's wedding. Anybody heard it at someone? Oh, lots more hands, sure, yeah. It's romantic, isn't it? Yeah. Now, are you thinking now, oh, she's going to do something tricky here? You would be right. I am. You see, it's a lovely passage, and it works well for weddings, but it's not about romantic love at all. No. It's from a letter that Paul wrote to a terribly misbehaving church about how to get along in church. It's a rebuke, really. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I can almost see Paul doing a facepalm as he dictates the letter. But it's easy for us to confuse different types of love in English because we just don't have the words. In English, we only have the one word, love. So it's hard to know what we mean sometimes because it can encompass so much. In Greek, there are four words to describe different kinds of love. We've incorporated some of these words into English, but we don't usually use them on their own to describe love. Let's take a moment to explore them here, shall we? There's Eros. This is what we know as romantic love. Now, romantic love is a wonderful thing in its place. Romantic love is something that I hope everyone here has the opportunity to experience at some time or another during your lifetime, appropriately and meaningfully. But it's not the love we have for one another in church. It's not the love that I have for you. I'm not here to date you or to get anything from you. Now, you've been most welcoming to me since my arrival, and many of you have expressed concern for me at one time or another. But our relationship runs one way. I'm here to care for you. I have others to care for me, colleagues and family, and that makes it possible for me to care for you in the pastoral way that I must. And that is a privilege for me to be able to do. And romantic love does demand that we get something back. Romantic love is the love that quenches a desire. Sometimes romantic love can be selfish. All you have to do is listen to some love songs, right? I need you. Really? Ooh. Take me back, I'll do anything. Ooh, really? But this is not a sermon on romantic love. There's storge, which is the love that is familiarity. The love that is what we know. Now, I had a cat named Rosie. Some of you know about my cat who died in October. And then we've been adopted by a new cat. That's a whole nother story. But I had a cat named Rosie. And Rosie and my other cat, Allegra, who died a few years ago, they were always sparring with one another. They were not best buddies. In fact, Rosie's best buddy was the dog. But Rosie and Allegra, they had a thing. They would spar. They would fight over the high ground and who got to eat first and who got to cuddle with whom. And then Allegra got sick and died. And Rosie didn't know what to do with herself. She was comfortable and familiar with Allegra. It was the love of the familiar, and she grieved that loss. Now, we get familiar with things in church, do we not? And lately, there's been a lot of upheaval. Upheaval right here at Brew, has there not? And I've even been the cause of some of that. Yes? I own that. I mean, just by my being here, I do things differently. When things come out of my mouth, they come out differently. And I love you. We'll get to that type of love that I'm talking about shortly, but I'm unfamiliar. And it can be uncomfortable. Familiar things can be important for many reasons, but familiar love, that's also not the most important love that we need to consider in church. Indeed, sometimes the most important thing that can happen in church, I'm repeating myself, so this might be important. Sometimes the most important thing that can happen in church is that we are moved out of our comfort zones, that we become discomforted for a bit. This can happen in an environment of appropriate love. But the familiar, sometimes that's what we cling to when we need to cling to something. Right? We should be aware of it, and we can make ourselves aware of when it's the change that makes something difficult for us. Or at least we can explore that. But as far as love goes, there are more important loves that we need to explore. For maybe we can cling to the love. Philos is brotherly or sibling love. You might remember this one from the fourth grade or whenever it was that you learned that Philadelphia was the city of, say it with me, city of brotherly love. That's right. Philos is very important when we're talking about church. This is the love that helps us to accept one another as we are in a church community, despite our differences. Do you know the third Unitarian Universalist principle? Who knows the third one? It's one of the ones that's in between the first and the seventh. You get to stay after and clean the erasers if you know the third one. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. This one would be very hard without Philos. This is the love that keeps us here for one another. Do you know the song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother"? Right? He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Right? That song is all about Philos. When we are no burden to one another, then we are filled with this love. And then there is agape love. This is divine love. Now, I know we have many different visions of the divine, and some of us have no vision of the divine at all. And if I told you to think of the divine as love while we're talking about definitions of love, well, that would just be circular logic. So don't worry about what you think or don't think about the divine. This is perfect love. This is the love that is absolute, the love that is unconditional. This is love that we can strive for and sometimes achieve. This is love that ideally, parents have for children. I know there are some Whovians here. Yes, I know some of us are. You know I am. I've already told you that I love Doctor Who. The Doctor is an alien from another planet. He's a traveler in time and space, and he usually travels with one or two human companions. Oh, and he can regenerate, which is how he's been on TV for over 50 years. There was an episode a couple of years ago. See, Doctor Who is very theological, one of the reasons I love Doctor Who. There was an episode a couple of years ago in which the Doctor's companion was grieving and angry. Anybody here ever been grieving? You don't have to tell me if you were, but and you know, in grief, one of the things that you can be is angry. And his companion was grieving and angry, and in her grief, she decided to hold the Doctor hostage in order to get what she wanted. The Doctor could see what was happening. He understood her rage. Unknown to his companion, he created a safe space for her rage. A safe space so that nothing dangerous really happened. When she recognized what had happened and told the Doctor what she wanted to do, the Doctor agreed to do what she wanted. She was shocked. She had betrayed him. And he said to her, "Do you think I care for you so little that betraying me would make any difference?" Let that sink in for a minute. Do you think I care for you so little that betraying me would make any difference? That is agape love. Wouldn't the world be a wonderful place if we could all treat each other with that kind of love? But even if we can't quite reach it, striving for it is something. And if we are able to achieve philos, well, that's a pretty wonderful thing, too. Now, I have to tell you that I love you. I love you so much, not eros. I'm not looking for this congregation to fulfill my needs. Not storge. I haven't been here long enough to get that kind of comfortable. No, I love you unconditionally. Is it perfect agape love? Well, I'm human, so it's probably not perfect love. But it's my unconditional love for you. And here's the good news about my love for you. It requires nothing in return from you. You do not have to love me back. There is nothing you can do that I can think of that will shake my love for you. There is nothing you can do that I can think of that will shake my love for you. Does that love mean that we never get upset with each other or that we don't hold each other accountable? That is not what it means. Remember the movie Love Story and the line, "Love means never having to say you're sorry." What baloney. We absolutely have to say we're sorry, but with love, we can. We absolutely hold each other accountable in love. I mean, we talked about this when we talked about covenant, right? And in love, I want this congregation to thrive. This is the love, this perfect divine love that I wish for us to have for each other in this congregation. And what joy is there when we are secure in the feeling of unconditional love? Not long ago, we talked about giving thanks in all things, not for all things, but in all things. How much can we rejoice when we know that others love us for who we are and that we love others for who they are, expecting nothing in return? As John Wesley said, we need not think alike to love alike. Let us love alike. Let us rejoice in love. As for me, I love you. There is nothing I can give you which you have not got, but there is much, very much, that while I cannot give it, you can take. Take love. Take joy. Let us prepare ourselves for love. Namaste.